Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. But I want that kind of heart. I want His will with all my heart." Elizabeth adds, "I say it to Him over and over. Lord, do anything you want with me, at any cost. Work your will in me." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking once again about spiritual opposition. We've talked about some of the ways in which Satan does his best to get the victory over us. And some of his targets are truth in the inward parts, emotions, marital unity, our schedules, and in the matter of what is the really real with a capital R. Does this world seem more real to you than the next world? Well, it probably does to most of us, simply because we are made of flesh and blood, and flesh and blood was made for this world, not for the next one. But in our spiritual being, we are given the eyes of faith, and the eyes of faith can look at things which are invisible. I want to talk today about the temptation to doubt. Remember that He that is in us, that is Jesus Christ, who lives in everyone who is a Christian, is greater than he that is in the world. So whenever Satan's power seems overwhelming to you, remember, Christ lives in you. If you have invited him to come in and be Lord of your life, King of your heart, then he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And I need to be reminded of this again and again and again. Christ lives in me. That's a great mystery and a great privilege. I am a bearer of the life of Christ in me. He is far greater than Satan. And Jesus Christ, who lives in me, was tempted in every area in which a man can be tempted. You may find that very difficult to believe, but if you really study the story of the temptation in the wilderness from Matthew chapter 4, I think you will begin to see, and it's taken me years to begin to comprehend this, but it's all in there, that every form of temptation that you and I ever experience is in some way related to the three temptations that Satan meted out to Jesus. Let me read that passage, that story, Matthew 4, 1-11. Jesus was led away by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Right there, note, he was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. For 40 days and nights he fasted, and at the end of them he was famished. The tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "Scripture says, man cannot live on bread alone. He lives on every word that God utters." The devil then took him to the holy city and set him on the parapet of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For Scripture says, he will put his angels in charge of you, and they will support you in their arms for fear you should strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "Scripture says again, you are not to put the Lord your God to the test." Once again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. "All these," he said, "I will give you, if you will only fall down and do me homage." But Jesus said, "Begone, Satan. Scripture says, you shall do homage to the Lord your God and worship him alone." Then the devil left him, and angels appeared and waited on him. Jesus was hungry after 40 days. An easy way out of his hunger would have been to accept Satan's suggestion and turn the stones, which certainly are many in the deserts of the Holy Land, into bread. How often you and I would love to have God perform a miracle to get us out of a situation that we're in. Get me out of this, Lord. Do something. Remember that Israel suffered hunger too in the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 8, Moses reminds them of that. The Lord led you and the Lord allowed you to be hungry. So don't ever get the idea that when you're in a tight place that you must be out of the will of God. Not necessarily. God leads us into some pretty tight places. And the Holy Spirit of God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Now, why did God not satisfy the hunger that the children of Israel were experiencing in the way that they wanted it to be satisfied? The account tells us plainly that it was a test. God was testing what was in their hearts. He was testing their obedience. The Son of Man also had to be tested, proved faithful and true. If you are the Son of God, Satan said, tempting him to doubt his identity, then why don't you prove it in a miracle? Have you ever been tempted to pray that way? Lord, if you're really up there, if you really listen to my prayers, then do this for me. Demonstrate your power in this way. Certainly there was nothing wrong with eating. Satan was not tempting Jesus with something that was not a God-given desire. It's certainly a God-given desire that we're hungry for food. Otherwise, we'd all starve to death, wouldn't we? There's nothing intrinsically wrong with eating. He was human. He was worn out with fasting. I'm sure that at that point, he was not feeling anything very spiritual. So why not use his power to restore his health, to strengthen his body, his mind, and his spirit? But Jesus knew that power was given to him only to honor his Father, not to care for himself. The supreme test was trust. Jesus and the Father were one. God was his refuge. You and I so often wish for an instant escape, a divine rescue operation, or as they used to call it in Latin, the Deus ex machina. The world tells us that God would do what we ask if he were really up there, if he really loved us. Any of your friends ever said that? Well, what kind of a God do you have if he doesn't answer a prayer like that? If he really loved you, etc., etc. That's what the world says. But the Word says he allows us to hunger. He refuses the answer we crave in order that we may learn to live with him and in him and for him, to learn what God means, the truths of our life which only God can reveal. We need the circumstances which deprive us of earthly and material things. I don't know to whom I may be speaking today who feels that he or she is in dire need of some earthly, material thing. Well, if you don't have it this minute, you don't need it this minute. Because my Bible tells me that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Have you asked him for it? Are you willing to wait his time? Are you expecting a miracle? Well, God may give you a miracle. He does things like that when he wants to. But on the other hand, he may have much more important things to teach you that have nothing to do with those material things. He keeps you in those straitened circumstances in order to test you and to know whether it is in your heart to obey him. Some of you may be experiencing great physical weakness. Jesus has been there too. Material lack often clears our vision and enables us to look instead at the lofty realities of the spiritual world. It's not easy, if everything's going well, for us to think about heaven, is it? Sometimes we say, this is heaven, or this is heavenly, or we had a vacation that was just heavenly. Well, that's an understatement, really, because heaven is going to be much greater than that. But if God allowed us to have everything to our tastes and preferences all the time, it would be much more difficult to think about the unseen world. Instead of dying, as we feel sure we're about to do, when we say, I was about to die, we can rise to a much higher plane. When we try to live by bread or money or material possessions or human love, instead of by the Word, the living Word, then we begin to die. I can do without bread, but I cannot do without the life that comes by the Word of my Father. I think that's what Jesus was saying to Satan in that first temptation, that he should turn the stones into bread. He was saying, I can do without bread, but I cannot do without the life that comes by the Word of my Father. And even if it had meant that he had to starve to death, that would in no way have nullified the life of his Father. And even though at some point in time you and I are going to have to die, that in no way will destroy the eternal life that God is ready to give to every one of us that is willing to accept it. I cannot do without the life that comes by the Word of my Father.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.